How many is glad to be in this house today? We had a wonderful time at men's conference this year. I think somebody said we had 32 men go with us this year. Begin reading today, and they don't have the scriptures. I did not give them to them. But we're going to read in Isaiah. We're going to read chapter 53. And the Word of God reads like this. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The Bible says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and whom shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of the people, of my people, was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to the grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bared the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Today I'd like to preach on a topic titled, "The Process of the Purpose." The process of the purpose. Let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight, today. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for never turning your back on us, oh God. Lord, we thank you for your trip to Calvary's Hill, for the payment for our sins, oh God. And we come together today, unified in one body and one mind, Lord, soften our hearts that we can hear your word. God, that we may leave not the same way that we came in, Lord, but with something different about us, oh God. Dear Lord, we come before you today. Lord, touch my lips that I might preach your word straight, that I might preach your word true, oh God. It's your word, I'm just the messenger. In your mighty name we pray, amen. You may be seated. We take a look at David. We can see David come into the picture in 1 Samuel. We see this, the Bible paints a picture of a shepherd boy, kind and generous and humble and meek in spirit. And the Bible talks about how David just leads the sheep throughout the pasture, and anything that comes against the sheep, he takes care of. We picture David as this person, a very meek, humble being. The Bible says that he sings to the sheep. He puts oil on their head to keep the flies out of their eyes. He takes care of the sheep just like they're his own. We see that David does not start out as much, at least so we think. We see that David is given just a very simple task, and that's to just care for the sheep, to be the shepherd to the sheep. We see this even after the first king of Israel is appointed with King Saul. We see that Saul goes through a process. He starts out great. He leads Israel. God is pleased. But after some time, Saul begins to go downhill. Saul begins to take things into his own hands and tries to force the will of God. How many know you can't force the will of God? You cannot force the will of God. So we watch as Saul just begins to spiral out of control downhill, and he makes sacrifices that he's not ordained to make. He takes some things into his own hands, and he thinks that he's pleasing to God, and he disregards the prophet that God set in his life. And we see Saul just begin to grasp at straws. So the Lord tells the prophet, I want to anoint another king over Israel. He tells him, he says, go down to the house of Jesse. And Jesse had many, many sons, and he shows up and he said, the next king is in this house. He said, bring your boys here. All of his boys show up except one. And the prophet goes through and he says, no, this isn't who God said. He's not who God said. He goes through all the boys that were standing there in that house that day, and none of them were the next king over Israel. The prophet asked, he said, do you have any other sons? He said, well, I got my youngest son. He's out there. He's tending to the sheep. See, David, he wasn't even considered important enough to even call into the house. So Jesse sends for David to come. And David comes, and the prophet says, this is him. And he anoints David. But we do not see David take over the kingdom at that time. Some things happen. David, he still tends to the sheep, and David tells a story about how there was a lion and a bear that come against the sheep. And David slaying the bear and the lion. He was just doing what God asked him to do. Just take care of the sheep. But what David didn't understand was that was part of the process. So David, he just takes care of the sheep. Here comes the lion. Here comes a threat. He takes care of it. The Bible says that a lion got one and he chased the lion down and slain the lion and took the remaining pieces of the sheep out of its mouth. He was doing what God told him to do. He was just going through the process. Then a Philistine comes. A man that's very tall in stature, a very big man. The Bible tells how big Goliath is. And everybody was afraid of Goliath. People with swords didn't even want to attempt to mess with Goliath. They see Goliath and he's just pestering the people of God. And David stands up and he says, "Why are we letting this guy get by with this?" And keep in mind, David, he's just a young boy. He says, "If you guys won't do anything, I'll do something about it." So David goes down to the brook and he picks up these stones. He puts them in his bag, and just like many times before taking care of the sheep, using that slingshot that he took care of the sheep with, he grabs him some stones, and just taking care of the sheep is what brought him to this point. He practiced with that slingshot over and over and over. And he slain a lion with the slingshot, and he slain a bear with the slingshot. So the Bible says that he goes out to slay Goliath. And David doesn't just stand back and wing a stone. The Bible says that David ran towards Goliath. He began to spool up that slingshot, and a perfectly placed stone right between the eyes of Goliath brings him down. It was all part of the process. Just because David was doing what God said. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. There's a process that we all go through. Whether we recognize it or not, there's a process that we're going through each and every day. And every little piece of our life is shaping us and molding us for something greater. So we see David, he begins to accumulate a lot of favor with the people of God. He takes down a giant that nobody else would even mess with, but he comes against him and he takes him down. And the Lord's with David. And Saul's already starting to spiral out of control. He's been anointed to be the next king. But it doesn't happen overnight. Some years later, some time goes by, and David takes out Goliath, and then he begins to accumulate favor with God's people, and David becomes a great man of war. And he leads God's people to many victories. But the part about David that you have to recognize is David never oversteps or tries to force the hand of God. It made Saul very upset when they would sing songs about Saul. And then they would sing songs about David, and they would talk about how David has killed his 10,000s. And it angered Saul. And Saul became very displeased with David, but God was with David. So favor was accumulated with God's people towards David, and David just continues to do what God had told him to do. He lives his life and he's doing everything that God tells him to, but doesn't try to force the hand of God. He's not yet received the kingdom. But now the king of that kingdom is now against him. And the Bible says that Saul tried to kill David several times, and David never even raised his hand to strike back at King Saul because he decided to not force the hand of God. David's humility takes him places that many other people don't ever go. There's a book about David. It's called The Tale of Three Kings. Pastor might have read it. If you haven't read that book, you should read that book. Because after Saul tries to kill him, David even gets so close that he could have taken Saul's life countless times, but he never even raised a hand towards Saul. And God blesses that. And he moves Saul out of the way of David. Saul's taken out of the picture. David is put in the place of the next king over Israel. Some time happens. The Bible says that David's doing great. The Bible says that David's a man after God's own heart. And it's all part of the process. So David, time marches on, and David, he bores a son, and his son grows up and decides that he doesn't like how his dad is doing some things. And his son says, I'm going to overtake my dad. And favor began to rise with Absalom. But David stayed humble. And David continued to pray. And he just continued to do what God told him to do. And David had every right to raise his hand towards his son. But David never tried to force the hand of God. So Absalom eventually is moved out of the picture. And it's all part of the process for David. It's all part of the process. We go through things in our life, and the minute we try to start forcing God's hand is the minute that we're going to lose it all. There's things in our lives that hurt us. There's things in our lives that we don't even want to get out of bed sometimes to face. But they're all part of the process. There's things in our lives that make us tremble with fear when we think about it. But it's all part of the process. We can analyze David's life, and we can look and see how he was appointed king over Israel, and he was anointed, and there was a man in front of him. And it had already been ordained by the prophet of God that David was going to be the next king. But if David would have lifted his hand towards Saul, the favor of God would have left David, because God has roles in people's lives, and there's people in our lives that we cannot overtake. It doesn't matter how wrong they may be. It's all part of the process. See, David didn't understand, but that was just a big test. He put Saul in David's life as a thorn in his side, and David never raised his hand towards Saul because Saul was his spiritual authority. He was his king. It didn't matter if the favor of God had left Saul. Saul was still king over Israel, and David recognizes this. And Absalom raises his hand towards David and tries to overthrow him, but David stays humble. David stays humble. And there's a point in Scripture that David does try to force the hand of God. His best man, Uriah, his wife, he sees Uriah's wife. David's the king. Anything David wants, David can have. So David sends for Bathsheba, and she conceives a son. And David, he doesn't repent. He doesn't try to make things right. He tries to cover it up. He tries to force the hand of God. He sends Uriah home, gives him a break from battle, and he says, go be with your wife. David wakes up and Uriah's sleeping outside of his door. David realizes that this plan isn't going to work. So he sends Uriah to the heat of the battle, the front lines where he would surely be killed. Uriah dies in battle. Some time passes. David's already forgot about it. He sweeped it under the rug, or so he thought. The prophet Nathan comes and he tells a story about a man that was poor that gave everything, then a man that was rich, and the man that was rich took from him, and it made, the Bible says that it made David angry. He says, who is this man? We'll have him put to death. And Nathan, understanding that at David's word, he could be put to death, he says, it's you, king. The Bible says that David rents his clothes and he mourns over what had happened. The son that Bathsheba bore for David is taken. He's taken from David. It's all part of the process. It's all part of the process. David goes down as one of the greatest characters in Scripture. The only person in the Bible that the Bible says that he's a man after God's own heart. The only one that can be said about. See, but David never would have reached that point if he didn't go through the process. There's people in here that were alcoholics. There's people in here that were addicted to drugs. There's people in here that were in financial ruin. There's all kinds of circumstances and situations, but a process. Ask Brother David. I'm sure it was not overnight that he just gave up alcohol. It was a process. And time had to pass, and David just had to keep doing the next thing, the next right thing. Just keep moving. Just keep trusting the process. We have to be careful to not get discouraged at the speed of the process, because it's all part of the process. If David would have got antsy and wanted to overthrow Saul, he never would have been able to do it. The favor of God would have been removed from him, and David would have, he probably wouldn't even been mentioned in Scripture. It's part of the process. We all go through things. We go through hurts, we go through pains. We go through letdowns, disappointments. We get lied about, talked about. It's all part of the process. There's people in here that have promises from God that haven't come to pass yet. But it's part of the process. It's all part of the process. When we go through the process, we can see three different things. We can see growth, we can see deliverance, and we can see promises. But without the process, none of those things are obtained. Without growing up, you're never going to reach adulthood. You're never going to get there. Without a process of putting things down and the help of God, you're never going to get deliverance. It's a process. Without the process, you're never going to get to the promises that God promised you. You're never going to reach it. Brother Caleb, it's a process. It's a process. Just keep going. It's a process. I remember 2020, and many of you know, and some of you may not know, but everybody remembers COVID, right? My mom in 2020 went into the hospital with COVID. And they said that at the time, it was the worst COVID patient to date that they'd ever seen. Mom has diabetes. It added to it. 31 days in the hospital with COVID. They said she has about an 18% chance to live. And then I heard one that was 11%. They said chances are she's not coming out of here. And we went up there every night. And we stood in the parking lot at the hospital and we just began to lift up the name of the Lord. And we prayed. And we believed God for it. And I remember that it was like an emotional roller coaster, because one day the doctor would say, she's doing good, she's doing good. It's baby steps, it's a process. And then the next day, oh, she's not doing very good. It's not looking very good. And then you might call back a few hours later, oh, she's doing good again. And it was an up and a down, an up and down, up and down. And it was a process. We endured the process. And if anybody would have given up in that time, we wouldn't have the promise. We never would have seen the promise. We went there and we were faithful. We showed up every night at the hospital to pray. And it's not anything about us, but it's all about Him. But we went through the process and we just did what God asked us to do. And it was that simple. And God gave the increase. God stepped in. And He took my mom off that ventilator. And she come out of the hospital. You have to just trust the process. Just do what God asked you to do. He'll add all the other stuff later on. If you just keep doing what God asked you to do, He'll add everything else later on. Just keep coming to church. Just keep your head up. Just keep doing the next thing. Just keep moving. Just trust the process. God's going to put things in your life that's going to try you. God's going to place things in your life that hurt you, that you don't even want to face. But if you give up, you're never going to see the promise, because it's a process. And you have to go through the process to see the promise. Pastor John didn't just become a pastor overnight. It was many, many years of working up to that. That God put him through processes and tests and trials and saw where our pastor stood. And if he would have ever given up on any of those, he wouldn't be here today. Because it's a process. God has a plan, and we may not understand what it is right now, but God knows exactly what it is. And He has a process placed in our life that we're going to see a promise at the end of it, but we just have to keep moving. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Just keep moving. Just keep doing the next thing. Just keep going. I'm sure David never dreamed that he would be king over Israel. But he was just doing what God told him to do. He just took care of those sheep. How insignificant. David just takes care of the sheep and he just sings praises to God and he just walks through the pasture and he takes care of the sheep. Any of them's hurt, he takes care of it. And the flies start to bother the sheep and he just pours the oil on the sheep's head and the flies leave it alone. And any danger that comes towards the sheep, David takes care of it. And he's just doing what God had asked him to do. What a wonderful picture that paints. Just doing what God asked to do. Let me go to Matthew 16. Says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter took him. The Bible says that Peter started rebuking him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. See, Peter, he didn't understand. He didn't understand where Jesus was going. He didn't understand that by Peter rebuking Jesus, he was rebuking the greatest thing that humanity has ever seen. Verse 23, it says this, and but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things of God, but those that be of men. We can watch as Jesus is born and grows up and we see the ministry of God. We see the ministry of Jesus, the man Jesus. And understand that in Jewish culture, you cannot be a priest until the age of 30. Jesus lived 3 years after his ministry began. So all the things that we read about Jesus, you're only reading 3 years of his life. Think about all the other years of his life that he was just doing what God told him to do. Nothing significant, nothing that's noted in Scripture. Just doing what God told me to do. But there's a process. There's something that's going to happen later on down the road. And there's things that we see with Jesus. And Jesus, he takes the disciples, and he just begins to talk to them about, just begins to speak life into their situations. And we see this process of Jesus building a church. He gets his disciples together, and it's coming. Jesus knows what's going to happen, but the disciples have no idea. And he tells them, you know, just what verse 21 said about how he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. And it hurt Peter to hear that. I feel that sometimes we're a little too hard on Peter from outsiders looking in. If you put yourself in Peter's shoes, Peter, he was doing everything that we would do. He stands up, he says, oh, no, you're not. He said, we're not going to let that happen. And he has no idea what he's even saying because he doesn't understand what the process that Jesus is going to, what promise is going to bring. Matthew 24. Verse 1 reads like this, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the mountain of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" The Bible says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and shall see that be ye not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." So Jesus tells us, here in the end days, everything that we see right now, it was all part of the process. We're living it right now. We're living in the last days, and we say that a lot, but it's getting closer. But Jesus says, "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up unto be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." He gives us a promise at the end of all that. He says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to see your world just begin to fall apart. But if you just endure to the end, but if he shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Stand with me as the musicians come. We all go through things in our lives. But we must recognize that even though we're going through some things that don't feel very good, they're all part of the process. And at the end of it all, there's going to be a big promise. There's a big promise at the end, and all you have to do, you don't even have to go above and beyond. All you have to do is do what God told you to do. Psalms 22. This is the last portion of scripture that I'm going to read. Starts out like this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted. And thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man of reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out of the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast, and I cast upon from thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as raving and roaring lions. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part the garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify and fear him. All ye seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. None can keep alive his soul, his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. The Psalm's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. We see Jesus begin to quote this Psalm when he's on the cross. Jesus cries out, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And every person that was there, they went right back to Psalm 22. See, it was the process that took Jesus to pay the sins of the world. Jesus went through a process, and at any time he could have called it all off, and he could have went back up to heaven wherever. It didn't matter. He's above whatever he went through. He's above all of that. But he subjected himself to the process because he knew on the other side of that, that he would pay for the sins of the world. He subjected himself to the process. The purpose of the process. Church, we're going through our own processes right now, and they all have a purpose. And if we could just recognize that we're going to go through things, it's not always going to be comfortable. Matter of fact, I would say most of the time it's not comfortable. But if we can just endure to the end, the same will be saved. We're living in a world that we're despised by many, just like the Bible said. We're living in a world that Jesus called to a T in Matthew 24. But if we just endure to the end, if we can just keep the course, life is like a vapor. We spend no time at all, really, in the grand scheme of, we really don't spend that much time on earth. An old song, it says, "This world's not my home. I'm just passing through." Oh, what a day that'll be. We lift our eyes up in glory. If we can just keep the course until the end. If we can just hold on just a little bit longer. We're going to see Him face to face. If we just keep the course. This altar's open.